Good day, friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine on Thursday, the 14th of May. We're glad you joined us today. Hope you're doing well in the Lord. I'd like to reread Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. Thank you that we have the privilege to read the Word of God, to hold in our hands a copy of the Scriptures in our language. We thank you, Lord, that you have loved us with an everlasting love. You've given us the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word. And we thank you, you've given us the Bible, the written Word. Open our eyes to see and understand today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to turn your attention to verse 15 of Philippians chapter 2, but I was thinking about this whole idea of being productive. Produce, Christian, produce. That would be the summary of this passage. To work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That is, to live out, to produce out that which God has worked in us by his wonderful grace. I was thinking of a gardening experience that we had some years ago in Texas. Sometimes it can be a little tricky in the hot climate to have a good garden. To plant at the right time is important, to be able to have enough water. But one thing that was thriving on this hot summer occasion in our garden was the hot peppers. And we had a tremendous crop of jalapenos. We were giving them away. We had almost more than we can deal with. And the jalapeno peppers, I think because of the summer heat, maybe were so hot that year. I mean, spicy hot to eat. So I remember that garden and how luscious those green plants looked. And then those big peppers that grew on there. It was a great sight. Those plants were producing. You know, I believe God wants us to be productive. He wants us to produce fruit, and he wants the life of Christ to be evident in us and through us. So we have incentives here for this production, for this life of obedience. First of all, that God is at work, verse 13. And then verses 14 and 15, we have a testimony to uphold. And I want to draw your attention to this little phrase in the middle of verse 15. He wants us to be blameless, harmless, children of God without fault. Here's the phrase, in the midst of. It's one word in the original Greek. In the midst of, in the middle of it all, in the middle of his crooked and perverse generation, God wants us to shine brightly. We may be desirous at times to escape, to go to a deserted island and live in comfort under a palm tree, if we could do such a thing, or to go to a mountaintop and to live there away from all the fray and all the activity and thinking that maybe somehow we could escape sin. But guess what? Because sin is in the human heart, no matter where we go, we're not going to escape it. We may escape some of the culture around us, some of the things that are going on, some of the crookedness and perversity, but ultimately we can't escape the whole problem of sin. God has planted us in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. It's not God's plan that we escape, that we retreat to a mountaintop, to a deserted island, and live in isolation from the world. No, he has put us in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Why? To shine as lights, because one candle in a dark room can make an amazing experience. I will never forget the summer of 1977, and I noticed that Roy Homan is watching this. Roy and Marlis used to live in Queens, New York, and that summer, Pastor Kent Sager, he and I were college students. We were staying in the basement. It was the infamous summer of the blackout and of Son of Sam. I remember being in that basement when the air conditioner began to die and groan. We wondered what was going on, and we worked our way up the stairs. I remember putting my hand like this in front of my face. I couldn't see it. It was just so dark. We got outside, and everybody was coming out on the balconies and the porches, tuning into transistor radios in that day to find out what was going on. And we found out that we were in a blackout. We were in darkness. You know, there were people who did nefarious deeds in that darkness. I remember a story of a man who had been on disability for a bad back, and he was caught carrying a couch out of a furniture store. So his dark activities continued in the darkness. My friend, God places us in the middle of the darkness to be lights, to shine as lights, and to shine brightly for his honor and glory. He wants us to show the reality of who God is, and God is light. Notice John's words in the little book of 1 John. John chapter 1, notice this, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The world needs to understand that God is light, and he's placed us here to be light bearers, to be torches, to shine the light of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ into a darkened world. So I am very intrigued by this phrase, in the midst of. I might want to be far away, removed from it all. But God places us in the midst of a crooked and dark world to shine his lights. Notice Jesus' words back to the Gospel of Matthew. Look what the Lord Jesus said in chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount. He said in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The Lord Jesus Christ said to his followers, "You're the light of the world." You see, he's placed us in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You may think, "You don't know my workplace. There is so much darkness all around me. It gets so discouraging." You may say, "You don't know my family. Oh, I'm the only believer in my family." You know what I say? Praise the Lord that there is one believer in your family, and you have the opportunity to let your light shine. Shine brightly. Praise the Lord, there's one Christian in that workplace. Let your light shine brightly. You don't know who else may come to Christ as a result of your witness, your testimony. I love Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine. Shine in such a way before men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father. You see, Paul said, work out your salvation. Not work for, work out. Jesus said, I want people to see the result of your salvation. They will see your good works and they will bring praise to the Father. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Well, how is it that we're the light of the world? We're reflecting his light. The light is all from God. The light is all from the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to be reflectors of that light to show forth the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we go back to Philippians and we see this. You are in the midst of. And what are we to do in the midst of? Paul says, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Take heart, Christian friend. Wherever you are, wherever I am, God wants us to let our light shine. Here's what I believe Satan would love to do. He would love, as a little song says, to blow out that candle, that light. That is, extinguish our testimony. Make us silent Christians. Make us Christians who live incognito, that we know Christ. May it not be. May the world know that we know the Lord Jesus and our light shines brightly. And here's a caution. We need to have something match. We need the words that we speak to match our actions, or our actions to match our words. Both need to be present. And you know, when we say something sometimes that denies who we are in Christ, when our words don't match who we are, one of the best things we can do is apologize, ask forgiveness. Even to an unbeliever, it certainly gets their attention. They need to know that Christians are people not perfect in this life, but forgiven. And those who are forgiven, forgive others. So we need to let our light shine, to live out the reality of our salvation, to speak the reality of our salvation, and to have our life and our lips parallel, matching, consistent with the light that is the nature of our wonderful, amazing God. So when we see some darkness enter our heart, that is sin, what should we do? What 1 John tells us, confess your sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Well, I have a question for you. Maybe you're seeing this or hearing this and you're in spiritual darkness. You've not yet come to the light of Jesus. Understand that the light of the gospel has penetrated the darkness of our human world. Will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Will you have the darkness of your sin removed? Come to the Lord Jesus, acknowledge your sin, believe on him as your Savior this very day. And Christian friend, let's let our lights shine. Today we want to go to two countries in Asia, Japan, a country where Christians rank in the minority, estimated only 2% of the population belong to the name of Christ. And Kazakhstan, another nation. And Kazakhstan also needs the gospel. So let's go to prayer for Japan and Kazakhstan, that God will strengthen believers there. Our Father, we thank you today that you are light, that Jesus is light. And we pray, dear Father, for Japan, for it may be in a very small group, a minority. I pray their lights will shine brightly. I pray their witness will be multiplied. I pray the word of God will be distributed and disseminated through word of mouth and through actually handing out Bibles and gospel portions. Lord, bless Christians in Japan. Bless believers in Kazakhstan and give them boldness and strength today. And our Father, I pray that all of us who know Christ will let our light shine brightly. And Lord, will you bring healing to those inflicted with the coronavirus? Lord, will you bring comfort to those who have buried loved ones? And will you, dear Father, bring an end to this pandemic, but Lord, not before you have used it to bring ultimate glory to yourself. We pray for the salvation of sinners, for the revival of Christians through this time. Thank you that you're at work. We praise you today in Jesus' wonderful, life-giving, light-bearing name. Amen. Well, God bless you, friends. Thank you so much for joining us today on Bible Sunshine. I hope you'll be back tomorrow at 12 noon and that God's love and life and light will shine upon you. Have a wonderful day.